All right, let's come back together. Por favor. All right. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right, we need to, wow, that was good. Like, I like it. We need to pray. So, yes, so we can be ready. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for what you've done already to this point. Thank you that, Lord, you're not done. You desire to do so much more. So we position and posture ourselves to receive, to grab a hold of what you're dropping into our lives right now. We open our hearts wide. Lord, I pray that hindrances would be just torn down. We drop them. We move away from them. We open our minds, our lives. Lord, we desire great transformation inside of us. We thank you for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to do my best to stay sort of on track. It's funny because this almost feels different. We used to say, oh, this service is going to be different. Well, it almost feels different now to, like, shift and go to a normal time. Anyway, what is normal, right? So we are going to, oh, I'm in the wrong book. We are going to go to Matthew 13 at some point. Wow. I cannot get away from this, Vanessa, I have to tell you. So when you were talking about your name, it's actually bigger than transformation. It's actually metamorpho, which is transfiguration, like what Jesus went through on the Mount of Transfiguration. It is butterflies are a perfect picture of what happened to Jesus. He was turned into a glorified body. You know what I mean? Like, so what the Lord is doing in you is beyond just transformation. It is transfiguration. It is being metamorphosed from one thing to a completely different thing. I believe that you're coming into a time and a season where, you know, people who know you have already said things like, whoa, wow, you're on fire. But there is a time coming where you're going to be hearing things coming out of people's mouths like, what happened to you? What in the world took place? Because something shifted. There's been a transfiguration in you. Like, because that which has happened on the inside is coming out, and you're going to see mass, like, the results, the seed has been planted. And again, I know your life is great and all that, but there's something shifting and happening, a transfiguration, even to a greater measure. So let's read Matthew 13, because I'm going to stand here and prophesy over all of you if I don't. I know, don't say that for real. Stop it. Who said that? Stop it. We're going to go to verse 44, just reading two verses that will change your life forever. Verse 44, it says, again, this is Jesus speaking, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. I want to stop there for just a second. I want to ask you a question. This is, I'm sure, a fairly familiar passage to most of us. We've seen this, heard this, probably heard sermons on it, probably developed our own ideas and thoughts of what this means, could mean, does mean, whatever. I was taught, and if you look at a lot of commentaries and people who are way smarter than me, they would, a lot of them say that the treasure is Jesus, that we're the ones who give up everything, like we do whatever it takes to get the perfect treasure and come into a place of salvation. I don't know if you learned it like that or not. Maybe you've never thought of it, I don't know. But I believe that we're the treasure, that Jesus gave up everything, right? He gave it all to purchase, listen to this, not just the treasure, but the whole field. I'll tell you why that's important in just a minute. Keep going. Verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. What happens if my mic freaks out? What happens if the treasure doesn't accept the fact that the merchant is mesmerized by the treasure? Hear what I mean by this. We struggle to understand what we actually mean to God, like how he sees us, what he thinks about us. We're pretty versed and pretty okay with the idea that Jesus paid the price so that you and I could be in perfect union, perfect communion, perfect eternity with the Father. There was a restoration. That which Adam and Eve lost has been restored, and we've been brought back into relationship, right? We're all good with this? But we really struggle sometimes with, like, it goes so far beyond that, that it's literally every day, all the time, he wants to be. It's not just your ticket to heaven. It's not just your eternal passport so you can make sure that when you pass away, like, you get to go be with him forever. He wants to be with you right now. So watch what I'm trying to go here. So we know John 3:16, right? I preached on this not too long ago, but we're very familiar with this. For God so loved the world, the cosmos, the all of existence, all of creation, everything that there is, he loves. He loves it so much that he was willing to pay the only price that would allow all of creation, all of the cosmos, to be positioned where it needs to be through liberated sons and daughters who understand that they mesmerize the king. Now watch. I don't know why I say watch, because you're not seeing anything, but it's just my term. So watch. You might be. This is your vision time. Okay. So the first verse we read, verse 44. Is anybody reading out of the Passion Translation, like a hard copy? Not on the phone. It won't be there. In your hard copy. At the end of verse 44, it'll have italicized words. It says, at the end right there where it says, he bought the entire field just so he have There it is right there, actually. Possessed to buy the entire field. What's in italics is this. Just so he could have the treasure. That is not right, guys. It's not in any other translation. And if you read the footnotes, what Brian Simmons says is that was his addition, how he saw it, what he felt about it. But I'm here to tell you, I'm not smarter than Brian Simmons, and if you're watching, which I know you do, Brian, I'm sorry. The idea that God is wanting to separate us from His creation has created such a mess in our world that we've allowed people who were meant to be in the marketplace, meant to be in the education realm, meant to be in media, meant we went through all the seven mountains a couple of weeks ago, but people that were meant to influence and see things shift and changed, we saw anointings, value, things on them, and we said, well, you need to be in full-time ministry, which means you got to come in the church. And we've made this hard-line separation from that which is creation to that which we believe is treasure that God paid for. But God paid for all of it. And if we separate... Sorry, I'm looking around here. I don't know how many... I'll put it this way. How many of you have been in an Alaskan village? Probably a lot of us. Okay. There are a lot of things that happen in some, and this isn't just exclusive to Alaska, it happens everywhere, but I only say this because we live in Alaska. But there are a lot of things that happen inside of villages that are not the heart of God. They cause trauma, difficulty, and I recognize that happens right here as well. But I'm just thinking about this because this is what's in my mind. And the solution to fixing those things is not to try and remove those who, you know, love Jesus out of those kind of situations so that they stop being hurt. It is to actually empower and liberate them with an identity of a beloved son and daughter who so mesmerized the King of all things that he was willing to give everything to be in relationship with him. And when someone, like, if we want to see all of creation begin to step into the place it's meant to step, it requires first a liberated son. Liberated, what I mean by that is separated from that which holds me back from being all that God created me to be. I'm not talking about trying to get myself in a bubble and separate myself from everything and become something inside this bubble that hopefully I can preach a message that goes out online, that goes to millions of people, and everybody hears the gospel and everybody gets saved. And we need that, but that is not going to change all of creation. What is going to change all of creation is when we begin to realize that God bought the whole field. Yikes. It's really easy to agree. It's easy to see when I'm speaking about it. But we have such a large, broken problem in, I'm just going to say America, especially in America, the West, that we have turned our eyes to people, whether it's political leaders, whether it's Again, a right preacher, a right prophet, a right apostle, a right whatever, and we have kind of pushed our chips in hoping that someone like Donald Trump will change America. Now, is he called to do so? I do believe that there are men and women in those arenas that 100% are called to shake things up, change things, shift things, but they are not meant to replace you or me. They're not meant to go into a place like, if I don't recognize my value as a son, that Jesus paid the price so that I could come in and join in this thing. I'll give you the word for it. It is perichoresis. P-E-R-I-C-H-E-R-I-S, something like that. S-I-S, something. It is literally the perfect, seamless union of the triune God. It could be called the love dance, the circle dance. When God created Adam and Eve, they were part of this whole perichoresis, this perfect, seamless dance that was going on in the garden. And when the sin came in and broke that, God did what he had to do in order to restore the seamless perichoresis of mankind. And when we step in, wow, I didn't realize I was going to go here. I don't want to get too nerdy on you here, but how many of us believe in the finished work of Christ? Okay. Some are like, I don't know, do I dare raise my hand? Is that, are you going to say something that totally contradicts that? I would raise my hand as well. I believe in the finished work of Christ that was completed on the cross. And if that's the case, then why am I not seeing all that I need to see? If I believe that I'm the treasure, that God purchased even the field and me, and I've been brought back into this seamless dance with the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, and I'm part, right, his righteousness is my righteousness. I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ, but yet I still have flaws. I still have problems. I still have issues. So watch. Anything inside of the finished work of Christ, anything that you and I do not accept or step into or leave lying around, we give the enemy permission to come and scoop that up and have his way in. So when we take things like what I'm talking about and we go, yeah, that's right, but yet we don't allow the process of Holy Spirit to come in and finish the finished work of Christ. I know that sounds a little bit weird, and I can prove this out in John 14 if you like. Holy Spirit was sent here as a perfect God to be given to you and I so we could remain in a place of face-to-face union with God. And inside of that, we're given the ability to step every day into more and more of the understanding of the finished work of Christ for me. And the closer I step into that, the more transformational I begin to become in my spheres of influence of all of creation. But if we leave that stuff laying around, because it's all about me and all about eternity and all about, look, I've heard this statement, it's all about people, it's all about souls. No, it's all about everything. Amen, Zach, good word. Say it again. It's not just about people, and that's the problem. We have fallen short of understanding he wants it all. He wants everything he paid for, right? How many of you go to, how about McDonald's? How many of y'all go to McDonald's? Don't raise your hand. I'm just playing. How about if you pay for your meal and they leave your fries out, how many of you turn back around and go, hey, that's the whole reason I came in here? Right? You want what you paid for. You paid for the whole meal, the whole deal. Right? And you don't want to be shorted. You want it all. This is what God has done. And we don't understand that the helper, we call him, Holy Spirit, which actually could be translated, this is John 14, verse 15, I believe. Jesus said, I'm sending you another Savior. I know it's translated helper in most, but it could be, I think the Passion actually says, I'm sending you another Savior. Not meaning we need another salvation, but he was saying, I'm sending another one exactly like me. And I will not leave you as orphans, but I've given you a way to be face to face with me at all times. And inside of the understanding that I've been, I have been brought in to the place of understanding I'm the treasure, I've been bought, and everything around me has been bought. I stop leaving things laying around like it's somebody else's job to affect change inside of, let's take for instance, I believe, I was walking the stage this week and I told her, I believe there are people sitting in this room that are called to be on the school boards. Because we want to affect change inside of education, but all we do is sit around and complain about what's happening and go, can you believe the curriculum they're feeding our kids? Can you believe what's happening inside of our schools? Can you believe the books they're putting inside of libraries? How about we stop complaining and start doing something about it by stepping into the arena and saying, I feel like I'm called. Now, don't do it unless you feel like you're supposed to do it. But you need to step in and believe that God is after all of those things because he paid for them and he wants them. And he wants more than just my life. He wants everything I affect. How about... I'm bad at this probably, but like we complain about movies. What a bunch of filth in the theaters. All there is garbage. And now some of that's changing, which is really quite cool. Some people would probably just be like, look, it's a waste of time, waste of money. Jesus would never go to a movie. I think he might, but anyway, he does. He likes The Chosen, but... Here's the point. Whether we like it or not, whether we agree or not, those things shape culture around us. Arts and entertainment, you know, some of those people are strange. To me, not to you, maybe, but to me, I don't think like that totally, and so I don't know how to think like that is all I mean. I didn't mean like they were weird, just I don't understand it. But there is so much that we have left laying on the table that the enemy has scooped up and said, you don't want it? I'll take it. You don't want it? I'll take it. Education? I'll take it. I'll feed your kids a bunch of junk and get them thinking, you know, that they don't even know what I sexual identity they are. They don't know anything. They're just so, I'll steal all of it. You want to leave it laying there? Because we're, you know, singing songs like I'll Fly Away. I love that song. I'm not dissing the song. I'm just saying it's a wrong mentality, though. It's a wrong mentality of to hell with everything else. I'm going my way. Right? And what I mean, I'm not trying to be vulgar. I just mean, like, we just figure it's all going to burn. And we just need to worry about me. We just need, you know, like, I need to get you to say this prayer so you can make it into heaven. Do you know where you're going to go when you die? You know, that kind of thing. And we've broken the idea that God wants it all. He paid for it all. He paid for the entire field. So, here's the hard part. You ever notice that things that are really valuable are typically hidden? Like they're often in dark places. They're often buried in dirt. They're often, you know, hidden inside of a rock somewhere that has to be mined out, chipped away. You have to dig it up. You have to clean it off. You have to chip things away. You have to, like, sometimes we don't like the process of God taking the spade shovel and shoving it into the dirt and trying to, you know, scoop out what's the treasure that he's trying to get to, right? Some of us try to carry some of that dirt along with us into the places of influence we have, and we look just like them, so we're not actually influencing anything. You know, there's still gold, there's still pearl, there's still whatever, but we don't really carry anything different because we've decided maybe I can have more influence if I look a little bit more like they do, if I act a little bit more like they do. But the truth is, you'll never transform anything looking just like what it is, right? Again, these are kind of the things we've sort of not known how to deal with, and it doesn't really get talked about much. What we talk about is clean up your life, get it straight. Don't cuss, don't chew, don't go with girls who do. You know, don't do this, don't do that, don't. And we think that is what it means to get rid of the dirt. Can I tell you that getting rid of the dirt isn't about what we have classified it as, like trying to rid ourselves of all this sin? Do you know what a lot of the dirt is? Wrong thinking. It's our wrong thinking that leads us into places where we begin to sin. It's wrong thinking that leads us into thinking that this is the way it needs to go or that. So we get fixed and concentrated on trying to get rid and pluck out sin, and we don't change how we're thinking about it, and we find ourselves battling it over and over and over. And we talk about the finished work of Christ, and we go, but I don't feel very finished. Holy Spirit was given to us as the finisher of the finished work of Christ. As we allow Him to transform the way that we think, as it's submitted to Him, He begins to transform how we think, and those things which God wants to scrape away, chip away, shovel away, we begin to understand that it's for our benefit. Do you know that there are some people in our lives that need to be scraped away, shoveled away, not because they're trash or they're dirt, but because they're not supposed to be in our lives in this season? We're actually possibly stopping someone else from having an impact in their life because we're trying to carry them. Wow, this is so much bigger than I know how to even begin to unpack here. So I recognize that I'm not preaching something new in the way of Scripture or anything. I'm trying to get you to see it differently so that you recognize the value of all things around you, the equipping that Holy Spirit has given you to be able to liberate you, bring you to a place of freedom, bring you to a place of understanding. I am maybe putting more weight on this, what I'm about to tell you, in my own life than I am almost anything else. And that is my beloved identity, my sonship, my how He sees me, what He thinks about me, is transforming my life completely. And I think, like, there are things in my life that fall off really easy, and there are things in my life that I have to bring into the light and question, would a beloved son of God do that, act like that? But I mean, I literally have to step into something I'm not in order to do something I wasn't created to do. Now, listen, I'm not talking about sin exclusively. I'm talking about anything I put my hand to. Anything. Now, He's still working on me on my driving a little bit, because it's my foot. It won't get saved. It's Sage's car that God gave us. It doesn't feel like you're going that fast, you know? I'm trying to blame something. How about this one? Well, I just don't feel convicted in that area. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, no, I'm not trying to knock that. There are things like you should be led by your conviction, but there are some things that are just out and out wrong. And to hear somebody say, well, you know, I'm just not convicted in that area, and when the Lord convicts me, I'll stop cheating on my spouse. I'm serious. People do things like that, and it's absolutely absurd. Anyway. Thank you. Renewing of the mind. So I want to really quickly tell you about a couple of things that are coming up to kind of kickstart and get us beginning to think and move in the direction of understanding who we are. There was a word brought last week by Kim, and she said, you need to stop. You're no longer a church. You need to stop thinking like a church and act like an apostolic center. That's not her exact words, but that was kind of the crux. And inside of that, you begin to understand that as an apostolic center, or an apostolic hub, which I believe this place has always been. In fact, Miss Eleanor and I were talking about this during the lunch that, now, I've only been here a short time, but in the 30 years that I've been here, I have heard most of the words that were brought down here last Sunday, I've heard at some point over this place before. Meaning, and the people that were sharing them, a lot of them have not been here all that long. And so the heart of God has always been the same. So Miss Eleanor tells me, a lot of those same words I heard 50 years ago. Meaning, when this place was established, when this place was formed in the hearts of men as God shared His heart, it was to see a place that was transformational in nature, that brought people into their identity, that launched people out into every sphere of society, to see the transformation or the transfiguration of all things, because God wants what He paid for, which is everything. So, in September, okay, we're doing something in September. It'll be brought up, the next couple of weeks it'll be brought up, but it's going to be exciting and good. I'm looking forward to it. I just can't spill the beans on it yet. So, in October, though, I can tell this one, and I'm bringing Sage up here. Come on, baby. The reason that I'm bringing her up here is because this is her thing, and I will butcher it.
Elijah, could you put the slide up for the business conference? So as Zach was sharing, as an apostolic house, our job is to equip and disciple you and launch you into your destiny. And so that's what we're doing. We really have a heart to see business owners come into kingdom mindsets. Because when you do, it's no longer about surviving and providing for your family. It's about shifting an entire state and economic things that are happening even in our state. And so October 13th and 14th, we have rented a space in the Denina Center, and we are bringing up Robert and Kaylee Fukui, who you can look up online. There's a QR code there for you. It'll take you in. It's incredibly valuable to us that you are equipped. And so we are finding people to bring up here that walk in things that will help shift mindsets, bring you into transformation, and launch your businesses into greater places so that you can have a way bigger impact. So we're really excited about that.
I want to just bring some attention to under the tree. It says, is your business just a means to an end? Build a business that makes impact. A lot of people start their businesses with the intention of a couple things. Some people are like, I don't want to work for anybody else. I want to set my own hours. I want to make more money. Those type of things. And if that's all that you're trying to do, that's up to you. But what we really want to bring about and equip you for is understanding that your business is not a means to an end or a way for you to even generate wealth. But it's a way for you to build the kingdom of God here and now through what God put in your heart and through your hands. And listen, you can do that working for someone else as well. This isn't about everybody needs to start their own business. But we're trying to shift how people are seeing their businesses and how they can be equipped to actually do what they've always wanted to do in the kingdom of God through business. This is not about anything of us getting money or trying to, you know, it's just not.
Well,
this is
and
equipping.
The truth is, too, as you guys are successful, the state is successful.
Exactly.
And it goes beyond. And so that's really, you know, when you step into kingdom principles, it shifts and changes everything in our lives. I can testify to that over and over and over. Every time I give God my yes and I'm obedient, things shift. Things open up. Increase comes. And that's really, we want that for you. And not just for this house. Like, we're going after business owners that are not believers.
Yeah, this is not a Christian conference.
Yeah, so Robert and Kaylee are believers, but they speak to people of all spheres.
I want to clarify that.
Okay.
I said this is not a Christian conference. What I'm also trying to break is the idea of this is secular and this is, this is kingdom. So what they bring is kingdom principles, kingdom, like their whole, right, they wrote a book called Tandem. I would suggest you get it if you are a business owner or self-employed you're married. I would say get it, but...
If
you want to be married and learn how to do business with your spouse, that I think it's great. But anyway, they bring all the kingdom principles are in their books. They're in their seminars. They do big corporate meetings and conferences like this. And they do gear them. If it's just at a church, let's say, they have that kind of conference. But we really wanted one that incorporated anyone that wanted to come and learn how to have purpose in your business. You done? Yeah. Okay. Thank you, darling. It's really big on my heart right now. I can't quite get away from this. I see someone maybe you're here, maybe you're not here yet, but I see us doing something in the education realm. I don't know why education keeps coming up to me. Maybe because the generation that is coming up through schools, they're facing things and dealing with things that they flat shouldn't have to. And we should be equipping our teachers and our superintendents and our, you know, principals and that on how to stand up in a dark place and be a light, how to make change happen inside of places like this without trying to create this great big ugly debate, but actually seeing change happen from the inside out. Did you like that? A last thing I'm going to tell you about this, I think. The enemy that we face is super patient. And the things that he does, guys, this is a long time ago, but the whole Twin Towers that were taken down in 2001, that was not a, hey, I have an idea. What do you think about jumping in an airplane and crashing it? This was years in the making. This was years of learning to fly, infiltrating, being part. The enemy has done the same thing within our schools, within our government. I mean, he's in it for the long haul. And we took our hands off of all of those things and directed everything either to trying to get people to come into church or trying to at least get people to say a prayer of salvation so that they can make their way into heaven. And we've left all of creation open for the enemy to come in and scoop it up and play the long game. It's time for us to shift that. It's time for us to begin to see things. And we have to have legacy in mind. I may not see in my generation, I may not see in my lifetime all the things that I desire to see. But neither did Abraham when he was promised descendants that would, I almost said litter the whole earth, but that would fill the earth, you know, as much as the sand of the seashore. He saw very little of that. But he knew that when his sons and his son's sons and his son's sons' 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 sons began to see the increase of that, it was also him being a part of it and seeing it. So without my yes, without your yes, without us moving into shifting and changing things, it will never change. The next generation will have to fight what we left laying on the table. And I don't want to see that happen. Let's stand up. You are treasure. So I'm going to do something really simple today as we close this out. And I'm just going to... Oh, you have something? Come bring it. I'm not afraid of you.
As Pastor Zach and Sage were sharing about the business conference, I feel like there's a word for... one at least of you, maybe a couple of you, but I learned something this week. I was studying worship, and the first place, big surprise, right? The first place in the Bible where worship is brought up is in Genesis 22, right? Where Abraham goes to sacrifice Isaac. It was an act of worship. But the first part of Genesis 22, the Lord calls to Abraham. He says, Abraham. And Abraham says, here I am. And the direct translation of that is, before you even ask, yes. That messed me up. And so before I even know what you're going to ask, before I know what you're doing, my answer is already yes, here I am. And when they were sharing about that business conference, I feel like there's a stirring in some of you. You might not even have a business yet, but there's a yes that he is looking for in your heart. And so I want to tell you, whoever you are, that you can trust him, and that inclination that you're having inside of you is him. And before you know what it looks like, and before he's told you what it is, give him your yes. He is a trustworthy God. It's him. It's him. Before you even ask, yes. So I don't know what that looks like, but receive that if that's you.
Okay, put your hands up. Let's posture ourselves, because I feel something on that that needs to get dropped right into your spirit. Every one of us in this room, and it might be different for each one, but every one of us are being called. He's calling your name. He's saying Jay. He's saying Drew. He's saying Eileen. He's saying Tyler. He's saying Vanessa. He's saying Andy. He's saying Rachel. So your job right now, all of you, Kevin, he's saying Kevin, he's saying Amity, come on, he's saying Wendell, he's saying Viola, he's saying Mitch, he's saying Sarah, he's saying Ben. Ooh, I can't sit here and name all of you. He's saying all of you. Jake, he's saying you. Dan, Amanda, he's calling you. Scott, Rita, he's calling you. Monty, Susie, he's calling you. Dakota, he's calling you. John Carpenter, he's calling you. Paul and Karen, calling you. Jody, he's calling you. Rob, Mariah, he's calling your whole family. He's calling you. He's calling you. Dan, Lynette, calling you. Robinson Clan, he is calling all of you. Kimberly Gay, he is calling you. Levi, calling you. Josiah, he's calling you. AJ, he's calling you. Marshall, Ida, he's calling you. Kaylee, he's calling you. All of you in the back, he's calling you. All of you who I did not name, like Charlie, he's calling you. Dan Adams calling you. Taylor and Ryan and your family calling you. Posture ourselves and we say yes. Lord, we want to give you what you bought. We want to give you what's yours, and we don't want to stop short. We don't want to stop, and we don't want to carry things in that were meant to be chipped away. We don't want to carry dirt. We don't want to carry even things that seem like they might be valuable. We don't want to carry them. You're telling us that you want it off of us. We desire to step into our spheres of influence and see them shift and change. We desire to be an apostolic people. We are an apostolic people. And we will go where you send us. We will say what you tell us to say. We'll be all that you desire us to be. So, Lord, I pray that as we've postured ourselves for this yes, that we will come closer and greater into the understanding of our identity as beloved sons and daughters of the Most High King, that you are so mesmerized by us, not in a place of pride, but in a place of love and desire for more. We recognize and we agree and we accept that you are mesmerized by us. So we simply say yes. Thank you. Y'all ain't getting away. Kiana, Taylor, Hudson, wherever he is. I know he's in here somewhere. Richard, Matt calling you. Scarlett is calling you. Don't know where your handsome husband is, but he's calling you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, Dave, Lisa, Rose, David, calling you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Brendan Burke is calling you. Wes Roxanne is calling you. He's calling everyone that you influence, your whole family, those who are living with you and those who are not. He's calling you. He's put his name. He has branded you with his name on your heart. You're his. You're his. And everything you have is his. Be saved, and so shall your whole household be. Your brother moved here not knowing he became part of that. He stepped foot in your house. He's his now. His life will begin to shift and change. Drew and Rebecca, you're his. He's calling you. Lorelei, Jay, calling. Sean, Corey, calling. Ben and Ryder are here. They're standing in. Thank you, Lord. Grace, calling you. Carly Rose, there you are. You popped in here. He's calling you. He's calling you. Miss Eleanor, he's been calling you for a week or two at least. Wayne and Raquel are, if they're here or not, but I heard your name just now. Calling you. Forgive me if I didn't call your name, but he's calling all of you. radically change and shift in Jesus' name. Thank you. One more. Vanessa, your children. He's calling them. He's not done. He's not done. The enemy can try to break that, shift that, kick that, destroy that, whatever he's trying to do. I've been looking.